Tim Stevens, he's got a new album out called I'll Tell You Later in December. This is his follow-up to I'll Tell You Later. And the in December bit gives you the clue. This is music which is a series of piano improvisations based on Christmas music. Christmas music by the likes of Bach and Messiaen and Poulenc and carols from Peter Warlock and David Wilcox. I'm greatly pleased to say that Tim Stevens joins us in the Music Show studio now, and he's going to play for us. Thank you very much indeed. That was Tim Stevens, and the keen-eared among you will have recognised that his performance ended with a burst of Peter Warlock's carol, Bethlehem Down. And that's what you find on all of the tracks, actually, on this new CD, that the music turns into or comes out of more or less familiar Christmas music. It's a great pleasure to welcome Tim back to the music show.
Thank you.
Nice to see you this time.
And you.
Well, we should talk in general terms about this album, I suppose. We spoke about its predecessor.
Yes.
And that was called I'll Tell You Later, although I was never absolutely sure why. But this one's called I'll Tell You Later in December, which certainly
follows. Yes.
Makes more sense since this has got Christmas music. Why was it called I'll Tell You Later?
Oh, it's a silly story, but it comes from my time at St. Peter's Eastern Hill, where I lived as a child, and there were a number of people there who were known to be gossips, and the news was salacious about this or that, and you'd hear something and say, oh, I'll tell you later. And it was just one of those catchphrases that came out of that group of people that I always remembered, and it still gets said from time to time, and it's a funny thing. So that's why I related it to that, because so much of the music on that record came from my time at St. Peter's. It's where I heard it first and learnt about it.
And that's also obviously why the records got made. And it underlies the fact that this is not just music that is about other music, or indeed just music that's about hymn tunes or carols, but it's also music that is from your life, isn't it?
That's the very thing. And I regard this as a sort of autoethnographic project where I'm investigating where my musical language has actually come from. As I wrote in the notes of the first album, people always said to me, oh, I hear the hymn book in your playing. And I'd say, oh, yeah, you probably do, whatever. I didn't think about it very much. But then it became clearer and clearer to me as time went on that that's absolutely true. And this music is very deeply in my blood and in my ears. And I do still draw a lot of the things I do from the four-part harmony of the hymn book, and obviously the music of J.S. Bach and other composers who are used liturgically.
Yes, well, Bach is an inspiration for so many jazz pianists.
Well, yes.
So that is less surprising than say Peter Warlock's tune turning up. But if you did go to your church or have a childhood in the kind of place where such music was sung or heard, of course, when you get a burst of Bethlehem Down, you are immediately sort of felled by the experience, aren't you?
Taken back
to your childhood.
Totally.
And taken back, I would hope, in most people's cases, to a happy time.
Hmm. Yeah. Particularly Christmas, which is always a happy time. And so this music is full of very, very happy associations for me.
This follows on from the previous album, as we've said, and it wasn't an obvious thing to do. But people suggested on the strength of the first one.
That's right. It was suggested to me by people.
Did you resist?
Initially, I did, because Christmas albums, they get a bit of a reputation for being what you do when your career's on the skids or... your time's up, so you make a Christmas album or whatever. And I know that's not always the case at all.
Not with Chris Isaak.
There are thousands and thousands of Christmas albums. But, you know, the cheesiest of them I would never listen to and I couldn't countenance. And that's what I wanted to avoid. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, I do know a lot of Christmas music that wouldn't be on those regular Christmas albums. And I could approach it, as I did with I'll Tell You Later, and see what came out.
Yes, but while, for example, Mel Torme's Christmas Song is an obvious vehicle for a jazz pianist, much of this music isn't.
No.
I mean, Gustav Holst's version of Person and Hodier, for instance, is not a natural starting point for improvisation.
Well, I can't completely agree with that, because I think that the way that harmony works in that piece is really, really interesting and friendly for an improviser like me. It makes great sense to me. And the groovy sort of driving declamatory nature of the way that piece is articulated, I mean, I've tried to resemble some of that in the improvisation that precedes it.
Those descending chords. You're going to have to demonstrate this now that you've said that, because there will be people listening who haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
Okay, well, Person in Hodier. So the thing is moving on that very walking kind of thing. So that's not a complicated thing to work with as an improviser.
No.
You know? I can just do that for hours if I wanted to.
But yes, indeed. But you've been very specific in referring at the end of the piece on this album to the Holst arrangement with those big scales in octaves coming down.
Oh, the way it begins, yes. Yeah, no, I do.
You've located it in a sort of Anglican tradition. You're back at St. Peter's, aren't you?
Rather, more or less, yeah.
Rather than, say, the PA Canzone of the 16th century?
Oh, yes.
It originally comes from.
No, it's definitely the Holst. That's what I know about it.
Yeah.
It's the same with Of the Father's Heart. You know, that's the Wilcox version is the one I grew up with and the one I've heard and sung so many times. So that's where it's at for me.
I think we should ask you to play something properly now. But maybe before we do, we could listen to the piece on which it is based, which is this time Bach. There's a fair bit of Bach on the album. This is O Jesulein, Süß, O Jesulein, Mild. Tell us a little about the piece, about the Bach, for instance, and perhaps your experience of it before we listen to the original.
Well, I remember hearing it sung. I don't think I actually did sing this, but it was a piece that was probably on records at home or maybe sung by choirs that I heard. And funnily enough, it was always slower than how I play it on the record, but it just worked out that way when I performed it.
So this is not something that you sang at St. Peter's, because I did sing this at school, but not in a English translation.
Well, if it was at St. Peter's, the choir would have been singing it, not me. So that might be where I heard. I just can't remember where the first time I heard this one was. But it's just a piece that I think is just so exquisite. You know?
Absolutely. All right, let's listen to the Bach.
Oh,
That's O Jesulein Süß, O Jesulein Mild by Bach, and it's performed there by the choir of King's College Cambridge, conducted by Stephen Clebury. And it's one of the pieces that is referred to on this CD about which we're speaking, I'll Tell You Later in December, which is the latest from Tim Stevens, who's here with me in the Music Show studio. Now, anybody who knows that is going to be terribly surprised, Tim, by the way your O Jesulein Süß begins, because it doesn't. There is no obvious immediate connection between what you're playing and what we've just heard.
No.
So are you able, before you play for us, to talk about that and say how you got from there to where you're about to go?
Well, I can. When I made I'll Tell You Later, it began as a recital at the Recital Centre, and it was in a series that was focusing on jazz. And there wasn't very much jazz in the program because it was me improvising freely with the church music. So I thought, I better put some jazz in. So I found a way to improvise in a more of a jazz context on some changes taken from John Ireland's hymn tune, Love Unknown. And in this occasion, I thought, well, I should maybe do some more in that sort of style. And I started, when I began to record this piece, trying to play over the changes of the chorale, but it sounded absolutely terrible and I hated it. And I thought, what am I going to do with this? I'm going to do something else. And so I recorded something else and I came back to it later. And I just found myself able to refer or allude to bits of it. And there is one point a little way into the improvisation where I just do a big massive quote from the chorale and then I go back into doing my free air playing. And it just felt so much better just to be working with little parts of the harmony here and there and suggesting but not being explicit about it. It was just much easier to do and it flowed better and brought me to the chorale at a slightly quicker tempo than I would have initially imagined.
Okay. Well, I think we should let you do that now. This is O Jesulein Süß and this is Tim Stevens.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
It's a pleasure.
That was Tim Stevens playing his version of O Jesu Lein Süss, O Little One Sweet, is the usual English version of that. Putting these things together is something that interests me, because quite a few of these pieces start out somewhere and end up somewhere else.
Right.
I mean, they start out in, well, Peter Warlock, for instance, and end up somewhere else, or they start out in Messiaen and end up in Poulenc. How did you go about choosing these pieces?
Well, they're just, as I said, they're pieces that just appealed to me, that I've known for a great number of years and that I think of and listen to around Christmas time. And I mean, there are others, but these were the ones that I felt fit together best. And the Messiaen and the Poulenc go together because they're both French and they're both to do with the Three Kings, and they're not tonally similar, but I've managed to improvise my way from one to the other, and that's the challenge. And in each case, it's just that I've known the music for a very long time and it's stayed sort of precious to me at this time of year.
Yes. And I suppose the other thing is that there's a range of musical styles here. I mean, because Warlock is not much like Messiaen, and neither of them is much like Bach. Mm. So that gives you a different set of challenges just right there, doesn't it?
Well, it does. But one of the things that I say to students is that when they find themselves engaging with music, they'll find a piece of Palestrina they like, or they'll find a piece of Wagner they like, or there'll be some Bartok they like, or there'll be something else, anything else, I don't know what, some John Coltrane. And the thing that unites all those pieces of music is them. They are the thread that links all that music together. So that's their synthesis, is what they will draw from all those influences. So I hope, without undue arrogance, that I can give something of my own that is the product of all these different styles and influences with which I've associated.
I've pussyfooted around the word jazz, and I will continue to. I'm not going to ask that question, but
thank you.
The other one, well, you might not thank me, because the other question that sort of hangs in the air is the spiritual dimension of an album like this. Do you think it is? Is it meant to be?
Well, I have that connection to this music because I grew up in the church, and so that's where I learned about it all. And I have to say I was really surprised by the reception of I'll Tell You Later, because the people who I thought would really want it and get it were the church people I know, and a lot of them didn't even notice it. Whereas I had messages from people who were far, far away who'd found it and connected with it, and I think maybe there was something spiritual about it. And I don't know exactly what that word means. It's probably different for everybody, but they seemed to connect with something that was unexpected and touching in a particularly unique way. And
so these weren't
took
even
me by surprise.
These weren't even necessarily people who knew the tunes. There weren't people who
I don't
who had grown
so.
Up
I don't,
listening
no,
to
no,
them
I don't
and,
think
and
so.
Then sort of moved away from them.
I don't think so. Or at least if they'd had any sort of background with the hymn book, it wasn't necessarily the piece that I'd chosen to play.
Yeah,
no, I got the impression that it was from somewhere else, but they just managed to find it and it meant something to them.
So
and of course I was incredibly gratified by this. That's the best thing you want.
Well,
of course,
yes. But what do you think's going on then?
I can't say. I really don't know. I think they must find some spiritual or touching thing in there that I'm glad is there, and I want it to be there, but I just can't predict it for anybody else. I said all along, I made this record, I just make the records I want to make. So I did it my way for me, basically.
And what's next? Easter, Whitsun?
Well, since you mentioned it, a gentleman has suggested to me that I do an Easter program next Palm Sunday at St. Stephen's, Richmond. So that might be going to happen. So
okay. All right. Well, yes, do keep us posted because there will be people listening. Let's finish with some music, Tim, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about Nun komm der Heiden Heiland, which is Bach again. But this isn't just Bach. And it's not even just Bach and Tim Stevens.
No, it's Ferruccio Busoni, who made a piano transcription of this piece. And I love the way he did it because he's kept it very, very close to the original. There are a lot of really ghastly Bach transcriptions for piano out there, and they're so showy, and they have to make the piano do a million things to resemble the dimensions of the organ, and I don't always think it's worth it. But this one is a beauty. This was on a record of chorales and chorale preludes for Advent and Christmas that came out of King's College that my parents played from every Advent Sunday regularly throughout the period each year. So I've known this one since very, very early days.
It's good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, and look, I should just say, this is a band camp job? Or
it is, yeah.
So we'll put a link on the website and people can go to it. And
thank you.
If they're interested, they can obtain a copy from you. And if they're really, really quick, they might even get it for Christmas. And that was music by Bach as reimagined by Ferruccio Busoni, Nun komm der Heiden Heiland, Now Come Saviour of the Gentiles. And that's the last track on the album I'll Tell You Later in December. If you're interested in it, go to the Music Show's website and you'll find out there how to get yourself a copy.